This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack's Deep Dive of the Week, and we're taking a closer look at the hair and beauty industry. There's nothing like a haircut to get you feeling good. You can almost reinvent yourself in the chair, completely change your look, or maybe just sharpen up your current look. And maybe you get into a bit of a chat with the hairdresser, have a laugh, share a bit about your life. But can it go too far? Because there's new research out that shows people are really opening up to their hairdressers about everything from relationship troubles to mental health, even about the violence being committed against them.
When I was 16, I had a woman ask me if she should leave her husband. I hadn't even had a real relationship at that stage.
Yeah, there are some really heavy topics that people are opening up about, and it's having a big impact on the people who are doing the cutting, who are holding the scissors, because clients are treating hairdressers as pseudo-psychologists in some regards, but they don't really get any training to help them deal with it.
They are not being prepared at all in their training for what they're about to encounter in the salon. Without adequate supports in the industry, people are burning out.
In a bit, you're going to hear from a researcher who's been looking into this. But first, Ariana Lachente's been hitting the salon in Melbourne.
Yeah, when I was 16, I had a woman ask me if she should leave her husband. I hadn't even had a real relationship at that stage.
If you want to become a hairdresser, you can start an apprenticeship as young as 16. You learn plenty of technical skills, but there's an aspect of the job that's not really part of the training. Emotional support.
It's surprisingly common that you'll have someone like break down while you're doing your hair.
When Claudia first got into hairdressing,
yeah, I was definitely surprised by the intimate disclosures.
Crying, crash outs, and heavy combos in the chair were pretty common.
I've had women come to me with like chunks of their hair pulled out by partners that have been abusing them and they need me to disguise it.
I've been told lots of things.
Aiden is a hairdresser at Everyday Salon in Melbourne.
I've been told about infidelities, and when I say infidelities, it's either their partner or themselves, they are cheating on their partner as well. And that's a little bit intense.
Aiden and Claudia say having these kinds of intimate conversations is basically part of the job. So what is it about the chair that makes people open up?
I think because the physical barrier is dissolved immediately.
Physical touch is essential to styling someone's hair.
We're touching their head and neck and everything for a minimum like 45 minutes an hour. That's quite a long time when you think about it.
And that physical care seems to translate into emotional intimacy.
They can become quite vulnerable with you, like therapy's not that accessible.
This experience is backed by new research, which suggests hairdressers provide emotional and social support that goes way beyond technical skills. It's care work, and it can sometimes resemble therapy.
People do often tend to get their hair changed in dramatic ways when something is happening in their life.
Hairdressers sometimes take on mental health support roles, often without dedicated training or support.
When I started hairdressing, it was you just deal with it and learn how to do it.
A lot of hairdressers have had to just figure out how to navigate difficult client combos.
I spent so much time like crying after work or crying in the toilets at work.
Most common things that we hear from hairdressers and the hair industry is burnout.
Euros Rusick is with the Australian Workers Union, which represents hairdressers. He says emotional burnout is a big concern.
Hairdressers are pretty much your frontline workers when it comes to stories of clients that come into a hair salon.
And without guidance,
they're then having to research what the best services are or how to refer to someone or how to sort of triage that situation.
In the COVID lockdowns, hair salons were one of the few places still open. Claudia saw a new client.
She had kind of let me know that she wasn't doing so well. She'd been going through some pretty heavy things and that she wanted to change her hair.
Claudia says the client initially left the salon seeming happy, but then things escalated.
Weeks, if not months, of back and forth messages that were threatening and abusive, saying that I'd ruined their life.
Claudia says the client tried to claim $10,000 in damages with Victoria's Civil Tribunal, but she didn't get it.
All this had gone so wrong from a haircut. Sadly, after that, she passed, she took her life. A friend came in 2 weeks after and, like, completely abused me and said it was my fault. I really couldn't handle it anymore. That was like a big breaking point for me.
Right now, mental health or wellbeing training isn't a standard part of the hairdressing and barbering apprentice courses, but a handful of voluntary courses teach hairdressers how to recognise signs of domestic violence and elder abuse.
There is this misconception that we will just take over and take a lot of control and really be able to fix something.
Aidan says a hairdresser's job is really making an aesthetic change, but there can be pressure if a client has attached their sense of identity or mental health to it.
But hair is essentially a superficial change.
Claudia isn't a hairdresser anymore, but she's still in the industry, running the Salon Grid, a socials agency for hair and beauty businesses. And even though that intimacy with clients can be really full-on, Claudia and Aidan say it's fulfilling too.
I had a client and at the end she started crying and I was kind of like, are you okay? And she just said she just hasn't looked after herself since her mum passed away. She was crying such happy tears.
Gender affirming care, cutting someone's hair and like validating how they feel in their gender, empowering them to wear their natural texture. I'm queer, so having clients, you know, come out to you. I love that.
Very honoured that I get to do that.
Hack on Triple J.
Ariana Lucente reporting there. All right, let's get into this a little more with the person behind this research, Dr. Hannah McCann. Now, she's a senior lecturer in cultural studies at the University of Melbourne, and she's been looking into well-being in the hair and beauty industry. G'day, Hannah. Thanks for coming on Hack.
Thanks so much for having me.
You were speaking with a lot of hairdressers as part of your research about the role they play in the emotional lives of their clients. What were some of the more intense things that you were hearing?
Yeah, so, I mean, if we think about it, there's a salon on every corner of every community. And some of the more intense stories that I heard were from salons that were in or across from hospitals. So at those salons, you're getting people all day coming in who may have just lost a loved one. They may have had a diagnosis, maybe a terminal diagnosis, or undergoing treatment. So those salons in particular are hearing a lot of pretty full-on disclosures all day.
And as we were just hearing from Ariana, a lot of these hairdressers are often quite young and don't know how to respond to this kind of emotional dump that they might be receiving. What kind of impact is it having on hairdressers?
So people are coming into the industry age 16, sometimes even younger, and they're not being prepared at all in their training for what they're about to encounter in the salon. So I heard time and time again in my interviews with salon workers that they were really shocked by the kind of social dynamics of the salon and the kinds of things that people would tell them even though they were really young. And basically, the research shows that without adequate supports in the industry, people are burning out.
Why do you reckon it is that people feel so comfortable opening up to their hairdresser? Like, is it the element of touch? Is it because you're in a vulnerable situation? What is it?
There are so many elements that make this a really unique relationship. One of them is that there is a particular intimacy to the salon encounter. You know, the hairdresser's touching your head, and that not even your intimate partner touches your head usually. The manicurist is holding people's hands all day, and the beauty therapist is touching intimate parts of the body. So there's a real physical intimacy to this dynamic that already gets through a lot of barriers, let's say. And then there's all these other aspects to it. It requires a high level of trust because you're putting your identity, the way you present yourself to the world, in someone else's hands, right? Like, you're trusting them with your kind of aesthetic curation. And then you're seeing them regularly, maybe even more frequently than you see some of your friends. And for some treatments, you're in the salon for a really long period of time. And that in itself means that there's a lot of talk that happens in the salon. And sure, the majority of it's small talk, but everything that happens in life comes into the salon.
So how are they dealing with this kind of vicarious trauma? Like, are they turning to coping mechanisms? What are you hearing about the kind of response from hairdressers?
Yeah, some people described a kind of party culture or like letting out your energy in these other ways after work and not necessarily healthy coping mechanisms. So it was rare to find a salon where there was any kind of formal debriefing mechanisms in place, the kinds of supervision arrangements that you would expect expect in any other setting where there was a lot of client-focused work and essentially kind of social work. So really probably quite surprising for people that that's not really happening in salons.
Yeah, and it's not only hairdressers. We're hearing from people on the text line now. Someone's saying, I'm a personal trainer and I get it a lot. Someone else saying, also true for beauty therapists. We're in an enclosed room. We hear it all. It's full on some days. And someone else saying, interior designer here, we absolutely need a bit of mental health training. It feels like I have a degree in psychology for my job. Hannah, what kind of training would you like to see in this space?
I think absolutely for barbers and hairdressers alike, having training at the kind of baseline level, you know, certificate 3 qualification level around well-being and managing client disclosures, managing things like confidentiality, supervision and referral pathways for things that clients disclose, those would have immense benefits to the workers in the industry and indeed to the community, because sometimes when you're not prepared for what people disclose, you can say something harmful.
Yeah, what are the risks of this kind of relationship? Like, because I mean, if you're in a setting that's not designed for such disclosures, there would be concerns not just for their hairdressers, but for the clients as well.
Yeah, so in the last decade or so, we've seen a lot of different domestic violence and gender-based violence services kind of recognising the role that hairdressers play in the lives of their clients and connecting with them to train them around identifying and responding to domestic violence. And one of the things that those kinds of intervention training programs point out is that if you get a disclosure of domestic violence, you really need to be careful not to say the wrong thing. So a kind of normal, understandable reaction might be to say, oh, you need to leave that situation immediately, like get out of there. But if the person disclosing this doesn't have the kind of necessary supports around them, isn't connected to a service, that can actually be a risk in terms of how they might be punished for that and the kind of violence that they might experience as a result of not having those supports and trying to leave. So it's pretty serious.
I don't know whether you're able to speak to this at all, Hannah, but do you have any advice for hairdressers on how to set boundaries?
That's a great question. Look, quite a lot of hair and beauty workers who stay in the industry, one of their techniques is actually to change the conversation if things get too difficult. And that being too difficult could also just be a client bringing up something that's triggering for the worker themselves. So one of the techniques they use is kind of just gently changing the trajectory of the conversation. But I do think that if we had proper training that was connecting people to services, local services, to say, look, if you get a disclosure like this, you can tell people this is what exists in the local community. I think that what that would do is give hair and beauty workers the tools to know that that client is going to receive help, or at least knows how to access help, and that the burden and responsibility isn't on the worker. Because sometimes people do just end up blurring the professional boundaries because they're so worried about a client.
And obviously at the end of all of this, the idea is not to freak everyone out and say, never talk to your hairdresser and sit in silence while you're getting your hair cut. Like, you know, conversation's important and having a relationship's important too.
Look, one of the things that I learned when I actually worked in a hair salon as part of this research, I didn't cut any hair, I'll just say, is that over the years I'd heard so many stories about pretty hard things that hair and beauty workers had been hearing from clients. But when I actually worked in the salon, I saw the whole story. So it's actually such a joyful thing to be let into people's lives, because you're getting the lows, but you're also getting the highs. And it's just a wonderful thing. If you love people, it's such a fantastic profession. And I just wish that we had more value on this in society. I think we just need to change the cultural conversation about what this work involves, that it's actually a lot of social skills and really quite complicated emotional management with no training, which is amazing. So I think that if we could shift the value that we put on hair and beauty workers, that would be a huge change for the best.
More respect for our barbers and hairdressers, for sure. Dr. Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne, really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks so much.
And just a reminder, if this story has raised anything for you, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or the domestic violence hotline 1800 RESPECT is also there for support. A lot of messages still coming through. Someone says, try being a barmaid. Another person saying, yeah, I'm in retail. And believe me, we hear all the personal stories. Some people just need someone to talk to. And then another person saying, look, I believe that as stylists, we choose this career because we do care. And people open up to us easily everywhere, not just in the chair. There were so many of you that related to that story. A lot of people in different industries telling us about how people open up to you at work, how you're dealing with all of this kind of stuff, what kind of impact it is having on you. If you like these deep dives, remember, subscribe to this podcast because we have stories like this dropping every single week. Also, big interviews. You can also follow us on socials at Triple J Hack on Instagram and TikTok. That's all for now. I'll catch you next time.